Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Down to the last few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is summarizing and restating and elaborating upon some of the truths that he'd been teaching throughout this chapter about the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of believers from the grave. And in these final verses, he answers seven questions, three of which we have now covered, and we're getting ready for question number four on the broadcast today. What have we covered? Number one, why is resurrection necessary? Answer, verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Resurrection of the bodies is necessary because our present bodies cannot inherit heaven. Question number two, does that mean that everybody must die? Has everybody got to die to go through this transformation that is necessary for our bodies to go to heaven? What about those who are alive when Jesus comes? And they're in their earthly bodies, and they're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. But they don't go through the process of dying, and therefore they don't experience the act of resurrection, or at least not in the same form. So what about those? Is death necessary for resurrection? And the answer is no. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There are two different processes for those who have died and bodies have gone in the grave. There is the process of resurrection. For those who are living and have not died, they don't need to die and go through the grave, but they do need to be transformed. And so their bodies have to be changed as well. And so question number three is, how are the living prepared for heaven? And the answer is instantaneously. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, who are alive at this moment, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Well, we'll continue studying these final verses of chapter 15 on this Friday, July 1. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for your financial support, which is necessary for this broadcast to continue. How are the living prepared for heaven? Number one, instantaneously, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Unlike the slower process of those who die and their body goes into the grave and they slowly decay, and then out of that decayed body comes forth an incorruptible body at the resurrection, at the second coming of Christ. But those who are alive will be changed so fast, in less than a second, in the twinkling of an eye, that's even quicker than a second, they, or we, if we happen to be in that group who are alive when Christ returns, are going to be changed. And though there's a different starting point, one starts from the grave, the other starts from above the ground, and both are caught up together with the Lord, and both arrive in glorified bodies. The dead ones have bodies that are raised from the dead with a glorified incorruptible body. The living ones have bodies that are instantaneously transformed from mortal bodies into immortal bodies. And so both are prepared for heaven in a slightly different way, depending on which category they're in, but there's this interconnectedness that applies to both, because both must be transformed. And that requirement applies equally to the living and the dead. Both must be transformed from a state of corruptible to incorruptible, from a state of mortality to immortality. Mortality is that which is subject to death. We are, and we use this language, we are mortal beings. What does that mean? We are subject to death. We are going to die unless the Lord returns first. But when the Lord returns, there's going to be a transformation that takes place, raising those who have already died. Their mortality has reached its ultimate stage, going in the grave and decaying of the body. Living ones, though they live in mortal bodies, which are subject to death, they haven't experienced death, but they have to be changed too. And so they shall be changed into immortal bodies. And so the living are prepared for heaven in basically the same way as the dead are prepared for heaven. Both are given glorified, imperishable, eternal, transformed bodies that are suitable for heaven. Which brings us then to question number 4. When does this transformation occur? Verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Verse 54, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." When does this transformation take place? At the last trumpet. Now, this will be challenging for some whose eschatology teaches that there will be a coming of Christ to rapture his people, the living ones upon the earth, and they will be changed at that time. There will be a trumpet sound at that time, but then some more events take place, and there will be a later trumpet. And so, in essence, the last trumpet that is referred to here as the last trumpet is not the last trumpet on the whole docket, the whole schedule, the whole calendar, as it is understood by some, as they have interpreted Scripture in that particular way. Well, I'm not going to try to prove or disprove anything. I just raise this thought because it's staring us in the face and we have to do something with it. And that is to simply point out that Paul declares that this resurrection that changes all believers from mortal to immortality in their bodies, that this takes place at the last trumpet. And if that doesn't mean the last trumpet, but means some kind of last trumpet in a particular series of events, so this is the last one in this particular series, but then there's going to be another event, and there will be other last trumpets that will take place in that event. Well, I'll let those who have come to that conclusion explain that, but it does not fit into the simple statement that we find by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to have to explain why the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 is not, in fact, the last trumpet. I tend to take a different understanding, which is that the last trumpet is the last trumpet. But at any rate, the last trumpet, which appears to me in the language of this chapter to be the end of the present order and the beginning of the new age. It all comes together. So when this corruptible, back to verse 52, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when, verse 54, this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It doesn't sound to me like there should be any more dying past this point. If your understanding has more deaths to come, then we'll let you explain that in your understanding, but it doesn't sound to me like there will be any past this point. Because at this point, death is abolished. The resurrection marks the final overthrow of death. When that happens, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, is that all death, or is that just the death of a particular group? Well, I'll leave that to you. But then that brings me to the question, when will death be utterly conquered? Verse 54, I just read it, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or grave, where is your victory? When will death be utterly conquered? At the time of the resurrection. When? Then. So, verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When this happens, then that happens. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, that's at the time of Christ's return, when the saints are raised from the dead, and the living saints are caught up to be with the Lord, that's the when. And when that happens, then what? Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So at the time of the resurrection, two prophecies will be fulfilled, both about the abolishment of death. And one is Isaiah 25. I will turn to that one now. Isaiah 25 and verse 8, which says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, the rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That's a prophecy. We'll stop with that one, Isaiah 25:8. And then there's another prophecy in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14, which says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. That's another prophecy. And those seem to parallel the two verses we're looking at. The one in Isaiah, the fulfillment is declared in verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a reference to the text I just read in Isaiah 25. And then verse 55 fulfills Hosea 13:14. O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where's your victory? And I just read that prophecy a moment ago. Those two prophecies will be fulfilled at the time of the resurrection. And we will take it up, Lord willing, on Monday. Please come back at that time if you can. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.